Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually spoke the verse Naam Viprana Chanar Patir Navi Vaishnava Sutra Naam Vani Chakriva Patir Nova Astriya Tirva Kintu Projan Nikila Paramanam Ritabde Gopi Bhartapadi Kamamadas. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated that he was not within Varnashram, that he was transcendental to Varnashram, and as such, simply absorbed in being the servant of the eternal residence of Vrindavan. So that is the pure transcendental platform, and that is actually Krishna consciousness. Sada bhakti ratir anupranasyati. It begins with Shraddha, Ratir, then Ratir, and Ratir is praying, it's the beginning of praying. And then this Ratir, yes, Bhakti Ranukranasyati, then we call it Bhakti. So sometimes we see that our acharyas are applying different definitions of Bhakti. Some acharyas are very liberal with the definition of what is bhakti, and other acharyas are very strict about what is bhakti. And Srila Baladeva Vijayabhusan was very liberal. Anything done for Krishna, even if the motive wasn't pure, bhakti. Whereas Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was more strict about the definition of bhakti. And if there was any karma misra or jnana misra, any mixture of karma or jnana, karma, fruit of desire, especially we are discussing fruit of desire today, karma misra bhakti, then he would not fully consider it full-fledged bhakti. Therefore also in Bhagavatam it is stated, sada bhaktir bhakti anukramasya. Step by step, anukramisyati, step by step, these stages will be attained. So we are falling short in love for Krishna. And when we fall short in love for Krishna, that is when we require to take shelter of Varnashram. It is there where Varnashram becomes relevant. It is there where we are accepting upadis. Otherwise, upadis are condemned. Narada pancharata sarvapadi vinyantam tat pratvenimilam jisikeda jisikeda sevanam bhakti uchete. That all the upadis are to be given up. They have to be left behind. So ultimately, that is a fact. But in the interim, it is a temporary platform within to position oneself within Varnashram. When we are lacking in love of God, then we require a position in Varnashram. And then, yes, then Brahmacharya. Brahmacharya, or to act on the platform of Brahman, achar, behave, to act, Brahman, Aham Brahmasmi, to understand truly that we are not the body and that therefore that the dictates of the senses are not relevant. No. It's just like, what do you do? What do you do when you get disturbed by sex desire? What do you do? The answer is nothing. Do nothing. That's the best. That's really the best. Take shelter of hearing, chanting, take shelter of devotional service. Atmindir prithivanchitara bolikam. So this lust is a problem. We are interested in satisfying our own senses. Krishna near Vidyachidhara Premanam. We have to come to the stage of satisfying Krishna's senses. Only then, when we are always thinking of how to please Krishna's senses, can we stop satisfying our own senses. So basically, brahmacharya cannot be based on just determination. I will not engage in sex life. Because due to knowledge, I understand that this sex life leads to so much entanglement. After all, so many things come from that. First, so many arrangements to get involved with women, then so many arrangements to maintain, then children may appear, and so many other things will come from that. So many things. We get land, we get household, we get children, money, social position, all these things become part of material life, ahamaneti, and then the bodily concept of life becomes stronger and stronger. So, why waste time? Why take a risk? Anadir Bahimukh, we have been since time immemorial in the material world. Anadir Bahimukh, we cannot even trace it back when we actually came to the material world. So many lifetimes already entrapped in the Chorasilak Yonya, in one of the 8,400,000 species, again and again. Entrapped in a body of flesh, bone, and blood, which is like a jail, and we are locked by sex life. Made to the agra, it is said, the chain of sex life is binding us to the material world. So this is all philosophy. But scriptures also, Bhagavatam also says, balavan indriyam gramam vidvamsam apikarsati. The senses are so strong that even a man of learning is struggling. He's also struggling. So, this is the situation. So, the Brahmachari Ashram is an ashram where struggle is expected. Because it is the student ashram. It is not the accomplished ashram. It is the ashram for where we begin. And for the brahmacharis, cultivation of knowledge is a major tool in dealing with sex desire. Brahmachari life is generally taken in the stage when we are young. When we are young, the passions are strong. And desires to enjoy with the opposite sex are very strong. And Maya makes arrangements to send us exactly the golden opportunity from America. Blonde, blue eyes. What can they do? Yes. So it can be difficult. It can be difficult. Yes. Because we are young and passionate, and when we see the Visayi, the sense object, the mind becomes captured, especially blonde and blue eyes and so on. America. Yes. Visayi chariya se rasana jaya mukha bolo hari hari. We must give up this visayi. So, there are several elements in maintaining brahmacharya. We are speaking about the stage of being in the Brahmacharya Ashram when we don't have love of God. When we have love of God, then it doesn't matter what ashram or it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Everything is perfect. So we need not discuss that now. We go one step down to where there is no love of God. And maybe a little attraction, maybe some affection for Krishna, but not so developed. Little. So then we go back to the stage of Varna Ashram, one level lower. It is, yes, sometimes in the circus, we see one man walking on the court, very high. But under him there is a net. In case he will fall, there is a net. So, walking on the court is the position of Krishna prema. But below it is a net. That net is Varna Ashram. It is a net, a safety net, to catch us so that we don't fall down to the ground of Maya. So there's a safety net in between. It is a safety net made of rules and regulation, of prescribed duty. The essence of Varna Ashram is prescribed duty, kula dharma. Everyone, according to his particular ashram, has a prescribed duty. So like that, it is a system based on prescribed duty and cultivating that prescribed duty. Therefore, the first principle is the principle of cultivation. Cultivation within Dharma. So we begin to cultivate principles that are favorable for sense control. Tapo divyam putraki yena sadhanam sujityasman pravasukhyam tanantam. We practice some austerity. So the acharyas have given us many activities to perform. To control the senses, yam yam. They have given us auspicious times such as Brahma Muhurta. So there are recommendations for taking cold bath even in winter and so on. Yes, just so this is all in the realm of tapas. So brahmacharya without tapas becomes very difficult. Very difficult. Yeah. It is in the tapas that we gain some strength of mind. So we are cultivating tapas so that we will get some strength. And also we try to cultivate, at the same time, we try to awaken our creeper of bhakti. And we are Vaishnava brahmacharis. So our objection is objective is not only tyag or renunciation, but our objective is yukta vairagya, to connect with the Supreme Lord. Nirbandha Krishna sambandha yukta vairagya uchite. So we're trying to awaken our relationship with Krishna. On the one hand, control the mind and senses through austerity. On the other hand, try and awaken our love for Krishna. Yes. In just cultivation, we are not strong. In just cultivation, we are certainly struggling. Because what is missing is conviction. Conviction is something else. See, cultivation is about how much are you reading? How much are you chanting? Are you regularly reciting slokas? Are you rising early? Are you doing all these kind of things that give a brahmachari strength? Trying to build up strength. But conviction is something deeper. Conviction is where we know. We know, no. I don't want sex life. I don't want it. Even if my senses are attracted, I don't want it. Just like, let us say we are in Delhi, and early in the morning you walk past some bakery, and it's cold, winter. So you're hungry. Everyone in winter is more hungry. You walk past the baker, and your nose is just, fresh bread. Hungry, yes. Demon, this bread is not vegetarian. There is animal fat in this, from slaughter in this bread. How can you eat it? How can you take it? You cannot accept it. But the senses, they don't make a distinction. The senses, they smell the bread. It smells good. It's the intelligence that says, no. This is carne bread. No. So in the same way, the senses may be attracted. The senses, but the intelligence understands. Deeper understanding. Yes. I know she is beautiful. I know it. There is no doubt about it. And she is rich from America. Yes, I know it. My mind and senses are definitely attracted. And the mind and senses are now offering a proposal to the intelligence. Let's give up the Brahmacharya Ashram. And let us just go to America. America. The promised land. The land of beef and beer. That's not so wonderful. Yes, but the intelligence must come in. It is the intelligence that then comes in and says, wait a minute, mind and senses are attracted, but it is not beneficial at all. This is foolish attraction, just as it is hot and mind and senses are attracted to swim in the water, but what if there are crocodiles? It's okay. You don't want to swim? No, it's all right. Not so hard. All right. I can tolerate it. When there's crocodiles in the water, we can tolerate it. So it is very interesting that when we see the deity of Ganga Devi, I always find it very interesting to see that Ganga Devi is riding on a crocodile. You can see all the devatas have a different vehicle and an animal to carry them, and Ganga Devi is riding on a crocodile. Why is Ganga Devi riding on a crocodile? The reason is because Ganga is transcendental and comes into the material world, and the material energy is represented by a crocodile. You can never trust a crocodile. There's no such thing. That a crocodile can ever be tamed or be trusted, never. It's just one of those animals that you cannot trust. So the material energy is very treacherous, and we get deeply entangled. So with intelligence, we must analyze these material facilities. Imagine a boy who has the most beautiful girl in the world. The most beautiful girl. What do you think about that? Many people will say, oh, he's lucky, he's a very lucky man, look, he's got the most beautiful girl in the world. No, I will say, oh no, poor fellow. Because the most beautiful girl in the world can get so many men. And she's very demanding. She wants so many things. Oh, is this all you can bring? Bring more. Is this house all you can get? I can get three guys who can give me a better house than you give me. I don't need you. What will you do for me? That I will stay with you? See. So, in fact, to have the most beautiful girl in the world means to have a big headache. That's what it means. And always other men after your wife. After guard her all the time. It's dog life. It's not at all very nice. Brahmachari, what do you have? What do you have? Few little things, even when they get lost, they come back very quick. That's Brahmachari. It's not a thing. Not a thing. Simple, very simple. Not so much to protect. Always in this. So, here we are speaking about conviction. We're analyzing the situation. America, America. Work, work all day. In America, people work many more hours than in India. Yeah? In India, people don't work so hard. Their life is a little more simple, and they don't work so hard. They have more free time. In America, forget it. Of course, in Delhi already it is getting crazier. And then this side, yeah, Mathura district, no one works that hard. Little business, yes. But so the more we want, also the more everything has a price, to understand that. So conviction means that we analyze the situation with intelligence. Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us many examples of how different personalities became entangled, how some personalities fell down. So they give us warnings about how we must be careful. And they also give us arguments. And we have to think about it and apply it to life and see around us, no thank you, no thank you. When Srila Prabhupada gave sannyas in the earlier days, he told some of the sannyasis, he said, don't be envious of the householders. Don't think, I could have had that also. Don't think. No. Just be happy. Happy that we have little, because little means little entanglement. So that is conviction. See, it is also part of knowledge. But it is knowledge which is thoroughly realized. It's not just knowledge of memorizing. Not only memorizing. Knowledge does not mean just memorizing some verses, memorizing some slokas. That is the beginning. But then we have to think and we have to develop conviction. Conviction, you don't know. I really don't want it. When I was temple president here, one brahmachari came into my office with a complaint. And he said, I have a complaint. This Mataji is always looking at me. I said, if you see that the Mataji is always looking at you, then you are also looking at the Mataji all the time. Yes. Then he said, no, you don't understand. He said, look, I understand very well. He said, no, you don't understand. It means that she loves me. Maya is strong. Illusion. No, this is illusion. She loves me. No. This is lust. This is lust. This is simply the desire to enjoy the body and the senses. It will bind us. Bind us to birth and death. Look at that beautiful face of that girl. It's a mask. What is behind that beautiful face? The face of death, isn't it? There is some skin, a beautiful face. But what is behind it? If one would take off the skin, what is behind it is the face of death. Isn't it? That is a fact. Sex life binds us to birth and death. So, who would want such a thing? Who in his right mind, who with broader intelligence, conviction means broader intelligence, the bigger picture. Ksudratma. Ksudratma, says Bhagavad Gita. One who has a small vision, who sees like, oh, but this is so nice. Yes, yes, yes. This is what the rat is thinking when he sees the chapati hanging on the hook in the trap. He's thinking, oh, this is so nice. And then he walks into the trap. Bang! Closed. In the cage. Same thing will happen. And then, when we are in the cage for a long time, we become conditioned by it. When we are actually in the Grihastha ashram, we become conditioned by it, and it's very difficult to give it up. One must be very determined and deeply absorbed. Otherwise, it's very hard to give it up. One can see how many are giving it up. Very few. Very few. How many? See for yourself. It is clear. How many are coming out? I always thought, you know, Grihasthas, okay. Then, when we're 50, we're all going to come out. And then, you know, where are they? With all due respect, I must ask this humble question. Where is everybody? So it is not so easy. Srila Prabhupada describes how there was a bird who lived in a cage for a long, long time. And they took the cage and they brought it to an open field and they opened the door of the cage. The bird sort of looked at the door, looked at its cage, and then the bird flew out. Then the bird made a few circles in the sky and then he came back in the cage. He went back in his cage. So once we become conditioned, it is very difficult to again make oneself free. One may think it is very difficult now to be a brahmachari. It is more difficult to give up the household ashram. More difficult. But isn't it that at one point one becomes materially exhausted? We remember that Prabhupada told that story of Akbar and that who was in discussion with some minister, Hindu Pandit minister, who asked, for how long will a man be harassed by sex desire? Minister Brahmin, he said, until death. Akbar said, until death. Yeah, that's a little over the top. I don't know about that. He was an intelligent man, Akbar. Very philosophical and actually a devotee. Anyway, then one day the minister suddenly came and said, Your Majesty, please come with me right now. I have to show you something very important. And please bring your young daughter. So then they went and they went into the room of a 90-year-old dying man. And when they walked in, the old man, while he was dying, was only looking at the daughter. Then Akbar understood, yes, till death. Till death. So, okay, on the material plane, we will not get exhausted. Even if you have three wives, still not exhausted. We have in Bhagavatam the example of Yayati. Old age, he exchanged it with his sons, he had some benediction, he could do that. Then he was, then he enjoyed again, second time, still not satisfied, still not exhausted. So one doesn't just become materially exhausted so easily. Yes, when we suffer, we do get a little bit exhausted, but we do not just suffer, we also enjoy. So it is not so easy. Therefore, cultivation of spiritual knowledge, therefore, we must, and we must deeply understand why we are not getting involved with this, by always looking at the thing in the temporary world that attracts us in comparison to the long-term goal. Shreyam acharanam sada. One must always keep the long-term goal in mind. Shreyas. That's basically how it works. And this is how a brahmachari is fixing himself in knowledge. Many brahmacharis are weak in the part of cultivation. No? They don't get up so early. You know, they get up as late as possible. And at night, they eat huge plates of rice. Yes? Big, fat plates of rice. Huge. You know? And then in the morning, they wake up so late. And then everything gets squeezed. Yes? And then rounds don't get finished in the morning. And then rounds are left during the day, and quality is down. So no, brahmachari means get up early, 3 o'clock. 4 o'clock is too late, right? 3 o'clock is nothing special. 2 o'clock is early. 1 o'clock is better. Yes. It means that one has to also. So how to do this? Yeah, what do you think? Oh, it's so hard, I cannot get up so early. Mm-mm. That's not your problem. Your problem is you cannot go to bed so early. That is the problem. Yeah? Because if we go to bed early, and then how can we stay up? How can we sleep? At one point, you just wake up. The trick is go to bed early. But that's a little difficult. Because at night, big conversations and just some eating and hungry. Oh, I'm so hungry, lusty. So let's go and snack. Let's get some snacks from the windows. Oh, I'm so hungry. Yeah. Lots of harmful and puris and that. This is not right. So brahmacharya means, yes, at night one must control the mind and senses and go to bed. Mm. So many of us are weak in the aspect of cultivation, and I gave a few examples. Then more of us are weak in the area of convictions. We are not thinking. We're just in the ashram and sort of following the rules and authorities are watching us and have to push us. Why? For some time in the past, we used to have the whole top floor of the Gurukul building for the Brahmacharya Ashram. At that time, I was temple commander. Yeah? So my service was to wake up all the brahmacharis that wouldn't go to Mount Vaikuntha. Right? And at one point, well, I used to do it, I had kartas, right? And I would go around, you know, singing, Ji-jaga-ji-jaga. And in some cases, the door was locked, and then I'd bang on the door, Gora-chanda-bode. And I'd on the door. So gradually, they would get up. And one new bhakta was a very difficult case, and he wouldn't get up, and then I would say, get up, I have some cake for you. And hold the cake in front of the window, and he would open his door. I'd give him the cake, came to the bathroom. And I did this for some time. But then as a result, I couldn't go to Mongolia to guard him. I was spending all my time getting these cases to go to Mongolia. And one day I thought, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. I'll go around one time or two in the morning. Whoever hears the bell, get up. And that's it. And if you don't get up, we'll talk to you about maybe moving out of Brahmacharya Ashram. Because the Brahmacharya Ashram is meant for people who are making commitment themselves. They must be responsible. A Brahmacharya cannot be a helpless person who always needs someone behind him to tell him, you must do this. An army sergeant. No. No, Brahmacharya must take responsibility himself for his own spiritual life. A Brahmacharya understands it's a great chance. It is the straight path back to Godhead. No curves. He has to have so many curves. Straight path. Stay on it. But you must take responsibility. It is up to you. Like this, the Brahmacharyas must take responsibility for their own cultivation. They themselves must rise early. No one wakes them up. They wake up on their own. And no one tells them, don't eat so much at night. They know it. They just don't do it. The cultivation is strong. Then Brahmacharya reads the books. He's deeply thinking about what he's reading. And he's seeing it. So much entanglement in the Grihastha Ashram. So much entanglement. Such a risk of getting deviated from Krishna so easily. So in that way, why do it? Better not. So these things, cultivation, conviction, and then the real thing is service, devotional service. Because that devotional service is the beginning of developing my love for Krishna. And that is the essence. It is there where it changes from struggle into inspiration. The more we get absorbed in devotional service, that's where we become inspired. On the strength of knowledge, Vidvam Samapikarsati, even one who has knowledge, either in cultivation or conviction, will always struggle. But one who has love, one who has love for Krishna, who serves Krishna with love, too busy, Maya, sorry, no time now. So ultimately we have to get absorbed in that service. By meditating on the one we are serving, and not only thinking, oh God, I always gotta do the same service. Yeah, but who for? Who for? For a short time we can do the service for Krishna, Supreme Lord, the most wonderful person. If we're faithful and do it nicely, then one day he'll shower mercy upon us. And our heart will change, taste will awaken for the holy name. So, and then we come to Nam Vipra Chanam Pati Napivashima Sutta Nam Chakriya Pati. Then we come to that state beyond Varnashram. And then Paramahansa Desh, like we see in the six correspondings, Paramahansa Desh. They take that ashram of the Paramahansa. They did not take the Brahminical thread, the Upavita. They didn't take. They take it off, even if they're from a Brahmin family. They take it off. Sarvapada, Vinaya Mukta. Now leave it all behind. Just on the side of Krishna. Paramahansa. Anyway, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the first one who broke with the tradition since the six Goswamis. All the Gaudiyas were just taking the Balaji fish to show that they were transcendental. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is saying they're not so transcendental. And he took himself a position within Varnashram, the Sannyasashram. And he made many arrangements for the Brahmacharya Ashram. He would send the Brahmacharis out to preach in the Gaudiya Math, such strict standards. 4 hours sleep, he said, is enough. Anyway, it didn't happen. But he said, anyone who is not chanting 64 rounds is fallen. So many difficult standards. If one was ill, one could not just want to go to the doctor. No, you just don't come for prasad. And then after some time, when people begin to notice, well, he's not coming for prasad. He must be really ill. When they come and they say, do you need a doctor? Then you can go to the doctor. So you have these ashram rules that are very strict. If we would have them today in Islam, our ashram would not be as full as it is now. It would gradually become more empty. But what I said is, we see the example of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, his spirit, and from that spirit we must take inspiration and take responsibility ourselves to have a quality spiritual life. If we don't, we will always struggle in the Brahmacharya Ashram. And some are falling down. That also. So such misfortune. Wasting is rare opportunity. Okay, we have some little time. So maybe now is your turn for some questions. So this, everything is related in the ninefold process of devotional service. The nine processes, they are making each other stronger. Sravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. First of all, hearing, chanting, and remembering. From hearing, naturally, our chanting increases, and as our remembrance about Krishna is growing, as we know more about Krishna, it becomes easier to chant, and so on. By in service for Krishna, we have to take responsibility for Krishna's temple. And there's a lot of service in relation to Krishna's temple, in relation to the deity. Like, to keep everything clean and to serve the deities in so many ways. That is all part of Pancharatriki. And then, of course, yes, there is the preaching. We have to do so much service to bring this knowledge to the conditioned souls. So these two are our main services, to look after the deities in the temples of the devotees and to reach out to the non-devotees. And in the course of that service, there is a lot of sacrifice required because it's difficult. This kind of sacrifice will give us a great strength. In this, we gradually grow over this atmendriya, or Nityendriya, our own senses, to Krishna Indriya, to satisfy the senses for Krishna. Sacrifice means that we give up the activities to satisfy our own senses for satisfying Krishna's or Guru and Gauranga's senses. So to bring make a sacrifice, then we bring that all back. Therefore you can say that maybe bring the fruits of all our devotional service back to the chanting of the holy name. It is like that. All the service that we do, it comes back to the name. And then that chanting of the name, the fruits of the chanting, we bring it all back to that devotional service. And that in the beginning, things that are impossible, later on, no problem. We can do. We can do it now. Because of the mercy of the name and of the sound of sound. Up and down, from the service to the sadhana, from the sadhana back to the service. Our strength will increase and increase. But real strength means love, love of God. Anyone else?
How to cultivate taste for the
Holy Name. The real question is not how to cultivate taste for the Holy Name. The real question is how to cultivate taste for serving Krishna. If we have this spirit of dasyam, right, of service attitude, then automatically the taste for the Holy Name will also come. So it doesn't begin with taste for the Holy Name. It begins with eagerness to serve. Tatra lolyam abhimolyam ikaram. The only root is lolyam. Eagerness for what? Not eagerness for nanruchi, eagerness for taste the Holy Name. No, eagerness to serve. The more eagerness we have to serve, nanruchi is an automatic fruit. That service attitude. Rupa Goswami also describes everything rests on dasyam. It is service attitude that is the foundation of raghunam bhakti. You go through the nectar of devotion, you will see that just leading up to the chapters about raghunam bhakti, Rupa Goswami discusses dasyam because the essence is service attitude. It is different. Let me get the taste. Yeah. Brahmachura chara guru kule vasavanta guru hitam acharan dasavan cho guru sukrita suryam. The brahmacharya resides in the ashram of the spiritual master. And there, dasavan, he develops that mood, that service attitude. And in that, he develops a deep and intimate relationship with the spiritual master, and that will give him the strength to rise above the material energy. Then chanting becomes very nice. Okay, we can stop it. I think so. I said enough. I said so many things. I think in conclusion we can say this lecture, as you can see, is an ample of Shastric basis. Everything I said, I gave it a Shastric foundation, but I made it also practical. And in summary we can say, okay, in the beginning stages, especially knowledge, because we're lacking in love, then it's two elements, cultivation and conviction. The cultivation part, yes, we must do something, rise early, chant serious, and so on, read every day, learn verses, recite one chapter of Gita, sloka, translations every day, things like that. And if we do all these kind of things, fixed. We must do service, sacrifice in service. And we must philosophically understand why it's better to be a brahmachari. Obvious, we want to go back to Godhead. Why would you get entangled on the way? If we want to go from here to Himalayas, why would you take so much luggage? You have to carry it all up the mountain. You want to go to Badrinath? You carry so much luggage. You have to carry it. Last bit to Tapovan, you have to walk. Huh? Okay, something you need, but think about it. You have to carry everything. So why carry so much on the way back to Godhead? Why carry wife? Why carry children? Why carry debts to the bank? You know? We don't need all that. We don't need. See, we don't have. We don't have debt to the bank. We don't need it. But as household, sooner or later you need it. Strong cultivation. 4 o'clock, too late. 3 o'clock, better. 2 o'clock, getting good. 1 o'clock, ecstasy. 12 o'clock, a bit early. Suffering from insomnia.